Okay, we continue the study of Sefer Yonah. Today's learning should be as a schus for Refoah Chaim Shar Yosha ben Baba Chai Rivka. We should continue to see Nisim ben Niflaos in his Refuah. And today is the 6th of November, the 17th of Mar Cheshvan. Just a little bit of review from last time and last year, we spoke about Yonah's Tefillah. And we read the fascinating Medrash about Yonah's Tefillah. And one of the themes that comes out is that Yonah experiences like two things. One is where he's shown wonders of Hashem, and the way I would put that is it deepens his sense of nevuah, but he still doesn't daven. Some of Farshim say because he thought Hashem wanted to just end his life. He thought his role here was to martyr himself for Klal Yisrael or for whatever cause it was. And he doesn't realize he's supposed to daven. So when he's in the more comfortable fish, as the Medrash puts it, he doesn't daven. He sees all these wonders, but he doesn't daven. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws him into the Nekeva, the Dagah, and there it's a more pressured existence, and he feels the tzara, and there he davens.
I don't really understand that. Because it seems like a normal person, not Yonah, who's on such a high level, a Navi, the first thing you do when you're in trouble is daven.
But he wasn't in trouble.
But
because he was comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, then it's the same thing. The first thing you do when you're grateful is you thank Hashem. Like when.
All right. Maybe he would have. Tefillah really means crying out for our needs. Tefillah is not thanking Hashem. The real definition of tefillah.
It's connecting also, but it's like. When,
yeah, but,
when
but
you
the real definition.
Like, you know what I mean? How could you thank Hashem? Like,
that's hodah. Right. Hodah is something else. In fact, it's interesting. The Svarno says that what we read here is not Yonah's tefillah. You look back at Perek Bey's Pasuk Bey's, Vayispalel Yonah el Hashem elokav mimei hadagah, the Svarno, Yavadim Svarno, on the next Pasuk, where it says, Vayomer, and he said, Karasi mitzara li, says the Svarno, Zos lo haisa tefilaso. This was not his tefillah. Aval hodah acher shiyoda shekibel akeis barach tefilaso. The way the Svarno learns it is that his whole tefillah is not shown to us, and what you're reading afterward is his thanking Hashem for accepting his tefillah. The real definition of tefillah is crying out desperately for one's needs. If you look in the Svarno that define tefillah, we have a classic sefer called the Beis Elokim of the Mabit of Moshe ben Yeshayah of Trani, and he has a whole section. It's one of the most thorough descriptions from a Kadmon, from a very early source, he was a contemporary of Yosef Karo, of what tefillah is. He says the definition of tefillah is crying out to Hashem desperately for our needs. Hodah is something else.
I'm with you. Like I heard once, like if you feel so grateful to Hashem, like you're supposed to say Nishmas.
Right.
Right? Isn't it davening? Isn't that a tefillah?
So we use the term more broadly. It's a semantic matter. But In the real definition, the way Chazal refer to an obligation, if there's an obligation to daven every day, it's to beg Hashem for our needs. Shemona Esrei, the tefillah of Shemona Esrei is the middle 13 brachas. We introduce it with praise, we conclude it with thanksgiving, but the petitionary section, the from Atachon Adam Das through Shema Koleinu, that is tefillah. It needs a preamble and it needs a closing, but tefillah by definition. In fact, the Mabit in that cipher defines tefillah as man desperately begging Hashem for what he needs. If I think I got it basically under control, but Hashem, I'd like to make you part of this too because I'm a frum guy. That's not tefillah. If I'm begging Hashem that my team should win the World Series, that's not tefillah either. Because it's not something. It's man begging Hashem for what he desperately needs.
But what I don't understand, and I spoke to you about this last week, he got specific directives from Hashem. How could he, did he misunderstand? Did he think that he was going to be
He went over this the first 2 weeks.
Well, that's the great mystery of the Sefer, which all the Rishonim asked at the beginning. One way of understanding is that he thought he was supposed to challenge Hashem. We do find the great tzaddikim at times responding to Hashem, challenging him, thinking that it's, which really means it's an asayon. Hashem said, "Go do something," And Yonah says, well, this is not going to be good for the Jewish people. It must be my nisayon is to resist. That would be one way of understanding it. One thing's for sure, Yonah's not a simple person who Hashem said, do something, he doesn't want to do it, so he runs away. That's what all of Hashem say right off at the beginning of the Sefer. It's impossible that a person who's a Navi would think in that kind of simplistic. He wouldn't have been a Navi if he thought that way. It's something deeper. And as Chazal said, Yonah Tava Kvod HaBen Velo Tava Kvod HaAv. He was fighting for the honor of the son, meaning Klal Yisrael, but not for the honor of the father, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was his error, but he was doing it to defend Klal Yisrael.
Is tefillah today the same thing, like you're saying? Today also tefillah is just begging Hashem?
Again, it's a semantic matter. Being expressing hodah to Hashem is also a great schus and something that we're supposed to do and something we're obligated to do. But the definition of tefillah per se, when we say there's an obligation to daven literally every day, it means begging Hashem for a need.
Tefillah is really with the heart. In other words, right. If your heart isn't really there, yeah, then it's
sure.
Not really tefillah.
Right. Tefillah is supposed to be desperately begging Hashem for what we need, which comes from understanding that even the things that I think I have securely, I don't have without Him. And certainly when a person is an innate tzara, it doesn't take imagination. When a person is feeling like everything is fine, it takes more thought to realize it's only fine because Hashem is holding it all together. So again, every time Chazal says something in a medrash, they put a deeper concept in simple terms. It's not like Yonah is a Navi. He's not a simple person. Oh, well, everything is fine. He didn't think to daven. And then so Hashem made it difficult for him, so he realized he had to daven. It has to have been that Yonah thought what was supposed to happen was something different. The way I explained it last time is I think Yonah was experiencing, seeing the wonders of the depths, and he thought, this is what Hashem wants from me. He doesn't realize, but Hashem also wants you. It's really two things that Hashem wants that Yonah has not yet done. One, to cry out, and two, to make a pledge to do better. That's why the very end of this quote-unquote tefillah is, he says, I will fulfill my promise. And in the Medrash, what had happened was, when he saw the Leviathan, he said, I'm going to feed you to the tzaddikim, which is a way of saying that it will bring Mashiach. So the end of the Medrash on this is, V'lo ne'ne ad sheyotza davar ze mipiv, and he was not answered until these words came out of his mouth, V'asher nadarti lahalos es Leviathan v'lo asos lefneim ashalim. This that I promised to bring up the Leviathan and serve him before them, meaning to the tzaddikim, I will pay up. B'yom Yeshuos Yisrael, the day of the salvation of Klal Yisrael. I'm going to do my part in bringing the ultimate geula. So again, most learn that this is Yonah's tefillah. I just wanted to point out the Sfarna says this is not the tefillah. The tefillah is something that he davened. And then what you're reading when he says Vayomer from Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel on is him thanking Hashem for answering his tefillah. Either way. We saw last time that he starts the tefillah by saying, Hashem answered me, which this Ibn Ezra quotes some of Farshim who are very bothered by that. What are you saying? Answered. If this is his tefillah, it should be, please answer me. Ibn Ezra says it's not akasha, nevuah is above time, and there are many things that aren't. We would understand this future tense, but in a prophetic state, they're phrased as past tense. The Abar Benel has a beautiful pshat. No, it is past tense because he's talking about when he was a child and he was revived. By Eliyahu and Avi Chazal said he was a child whom Eliyahu revived. Unlike the Haftarah we read this past Shabbos, which was the child whom Elisha Hanavi revived, who did not fare as well, was not a tzaddik, and died again, was revived again, and died fully. But Yonah went on to become a great Navi. Anyway, so it could be that Pasuk Gimel is referring back to when he was a child. And then we saw, just reviewing a little bit from last time, the Malbim points out that Psukim Dalet and Hay seem to mirror Vav and Zion. It's being thrown into the water, and I thought it was hopeless, and then I'm saved. And then Vav and Zion, also, I'm surrounded by water, it was hopeless, and then Hashem brings me up. So the Malbim says, the first couplet, the first two psukim, Dalet and Hey, when he's thrown into the first fish. He's thrown into the water. I should say when he's thrown into the water and saved by the fish. He's thrown into the water, he thinks it's hopeless, I'm going to drown, they just threw me off the ship. Ah, oh, Hashem saved me. I'm swallowed up by a fish. But it's not over. Then Pasuk Hey. I'm sorry, then Pasuk Vav. Once again, he's surrounded by water and he thinks it's hopeless. And then Pasuk Zayin, Hashem brings me up, Vatal Mishachas Chaya Hashem Elokai. So to read the Psukim inside, I don't recall if I did that last week. In Pasuk Gimel, Perek Beis, Pasuk Gimel, second chapter, third Pasuk. Vayomer Karasi, I called Mitzara Li. From a tzara to me, El Hashem, to Hashem, Vaya'aneni, and he answered me. The Svarim point out that Yonah is highlighting the kindness of Hashem, because, and this is a point that Shari Tshuva makes about Tshuva, human beings don't take too well to friends who are only friends when they need you. So Yonah says, I called out Mitzara. I didn't call out when it was good. And now I'm calling out Mitzara when it was a hardship. I'm calling out, and still Hashem answers me. It's the kindness of Hashem. Shari Tshuva makes the same point about tshuva. When we do tshuva, when we have suffering, so human beings don't like that. Oh, you only made up with me when you had a hardship. But until then, you didn't. So we wouldn't take kind of that, but Hashem does. Hashem accepts tshuva that comes from tzara. So point number one is mitzara. And second of all, it's li. I'm crying out on my own behalf. When a person is davening on someone else's behalf, that's more meritorious, that's more magnanimous. We understand that Hashem is more ready to answer. So Yonah is saying, I have two strikes against me. First of all, it's mitzara. I'm only crying out because I'm having tzaras. And li, I'm crying out on my own behalf. It's not like I'm davening for somebody else. And still, vayaneni. Still he answered me. Mibetan sh'ol, from the belly of the depths, shivati, I supplicated. Shamato koli, you heard my voice. Dalid. Patashlicheni mitzula bilvav yamim. And you threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas. V'nahar yisova veini. And the river surrounded me. The Malbim says that when you have nahar within yam, it has a connotation of something that has its own current. The yam is one way, and then there's a nahar, which is what Chazal said, that's what was happening when they were on the ship. There were calmer waters all around them, and then where Yonah's ship is, there was...
Eddie? Is that called Eddie? Like a whirlwind?
Yeah, it could have been something like a whirlwind. It was a nace. That's how they knew that there was... the Mepharshim say, and Chazal said, that's how they knew there was something on their ship that was causing the problem, because the other ships were passing by without trouble. So he says, that's Nahar Yisavaveni. Nahar means a river, but Nahar within Yam means it's some kind of current that's different from everything else. Kol mishparecha v'galacha alai avaru. All of mishparim are like breaking waves, and galacha are your waves. Alai avaru, passed upon me. I started the shir last week with a chazal about Rabbi Akiva riding the waves. He said that he bowed his head to every wave. It's a deep lesson from our chachamim about when the waves come, you let them pass. And chazal said, Rishoyim are like waves. Each wave thinks it's going to destroy. Whenever it goes up and it comes down, the waves passes by. There are moments when it seems like too much, but as big as the wave is, it comes crashing down. So the waves passed me by. But in Pasuk Hei, Vani Amarti, and I said, Nigrashti mineged einecha, that I've been chased away. Garash is to chase away. Sarah tells Avram Avinu, Gareshus Ha'am Hazos, chase away Hagar. This week's parashah. So Vani Amarti, I said, Nigrashti mineged einecha, I was chased away from before your eyes. When Perek Beis, second Perek, Pasuk Hei, Ach Osif Lahabit El Hecha Al Kodshecha. But I will continue to gaze, to look at the sanctuary of your holiness. I didn't see anybody who says the following, but I think it's a very, can I say a richtige Wort? Sometimes I lapse into my native yeshivis. It means a very correct insight, I may say. Ilanias Daiti, I think the way the Malbim explains it fits beautifully with the wording and with the Medrash. We have these two series of, I thought I was lost in the water, but Hashem made it okay. I thought I was lost in the water, and Hashem made it good. If you look at the way each one ends, respectively, in Pasuk Hei, it says, but I will continue to gaze at Heichal Kodshecha. If I could jump ahead for a second to Pasuk Ches, which concludes, Vatavo Elecha Tfilasi El Heichal Kodshecha. My tefillah came to you, to your the sanctuary of your holiness. That fits perfectly with what happened in the story. Chazal was thrown into the first fish. He saw wonders, but he didn't daven. Hashem says, oh, I save you, you don't daven? spits into the other fish, where it's going to be more uncomfortable, which is what happened. And then Yonah davens mim ehadogah, from the second fish. So the resolution, if you will, of the first challenge is just, I thought I was finished, but yet, Hashem, you made it that I continued to gaze at Heichal Kodshech. That's what happened to him. I thought I was finished, and then you gave me the opportunity to see your wonders. According to Chazal, the fish took him to see wonders of the inner workings of Hashem's universe. But that's not davening. Then he thinks he's lost again. He thinks he's hopeless. But my tefillah came to you, to Heichal Kodshech, because the second time around, he did in fact daven. So it gives us a little bit of an insight as to where Chazal saw this story. It's not in the Tzukim, but they tell it from the Zohar to the Nekeva, no davening, yes davening. If you read the Pesukim carefully, you see it. And again, it fits with the Malbim's approach, that the first two Pesukim are when he was in the first fish, and the next three are when he's in the second one.
I think it also reflects nicely in terms of like teshuva, right? It's not enough to be aware that you made a mistake. You need to act on it.
Right.
It seems like in the first Pesuk, he's just aware of the Shechina, and here he's engaging in it.
Right. And even if that awareness comes with a deeper relationship, I think Yonah felt, I thought it was hopeless, but Hashem, you connected me more to you. That's nice, Yonah. Now you have to do something with that. That's right. So then Pasuk Vav begins the second challenge. Afafuni mayim ad nefesh, water surrounded me to my soul, to tahom yisovaveni, the depths surrounded me, suf chavush l'roshi. So suf, there's a few different ways of translating it. Most of the Mefarshim say it's something that grows, it's like the moss or the algae or seaweed, something that grows in the water, and he was like entangled in it. Or suf is a level of the depths, right above the very bottom. The bottom of the ocean is an area called suf, but that's where he was. He was way down and in the depths. Pasuk Zayin, l'kitzvei Harim Yaradati. So here's very interesting. That first word is spelled in an interesting way. Lekitzve Harim, which somehow means like the ends of the mountains, where they start deep in the depths. But we'd usually expect that word to end with a Vav. In fact, we had it in the Tehillim for today's Shir Shal Yom. You have Kitzavim, Kitzve, Kuf, Tzadi, Vav. Here, a Kitzva with a vase at the end. Not so different, but it usually means an end, like in terms of time. Ein Kitzva l'shnosacha, we say in the Yom Naroim davening. So it's interesting, if you look in the Ramban, in Parshas Vayetze, when Zevulun is born, okay, we'll read it in a few weeks, 2 weeks from the showers. When Zevulun is born, so his mother says, Zeved Tov. He's belaying Zeved Tov. Hashem has given me a great Zeved, Zion, Vez, Dalet. And the Ramban points out, we have no other, this word doesn't appear anywhere else. A number of places in Tanakh where the Mefarshim will say, Ein lo chaver. Sometimes the Ebenezer says, this word has no friend. No, there's no, you have to figure it out on your own because we have nothing to compare it to. So the Ramban talks about it at some length over there. And he says he found in one of the Targumim, if I recall correctly, the Targum Yerushalmi, that translates it as Zion, Vav, Dalet. In other words, that it's related to, which by the way is the Aramaic translation for the word Seda, or provisions. You gave me provisions, because the word Zion Vav Dalet means provisions, and the Ramban says this is a concept we find actually that Vez and Vav are interchangeable in some words. Because what you would, if you want to say the edges of mountains, you would say Kitzve with a Vav at the end. Here it's Le Kitzve, it's sort of a unique usage, so it could be this, and the Ramban there gives this as an example. He says it's not so uncommon that a vase and a vav are interchangeable, as you have in, say, for Yonah, l'kitzvei harim yiradati. Ramban knew Tanakh like we know our own phone numbers. before you had your contacts and you don't know your phone number. I mean, like people used to know that used to be a valid expression. Now nobody knows their phone number. But so he invokes this as an example of vez and avo being interchangeable. But somehow it means that the edges of the very beginnings of the mountains, which are assumed to be underwater, I went down to the depths, the edges of the mountains. Ha'aretz bricheha va'adile olam. Briach is a rod that goes through a door or two connecting pieces to hold them firm. So it's a rod that locks you in. So the earth was like a lock before me forever. So I thought I was stuck in the depths of the ocean, as some put it, under the mountains, even under the earth. It's like in a tunnel underwater. Vata'al mishachas chayai Hashem Elokai. You elevated from the depths of my life, Hashem, my God. Bisatef alai, Pasuk Ches, bisatef alai nafshi. Hisatef means to be in a state of fainting. When my soul was swooning, was fainting upon me, es Hashem zacharti, I remembered Hashem, which means that he davened, vatavo elecha tfilasi el hechal kachecha. And my tfila came to you, to your Hechal Kachacha, your holy, the sanctuary of your holiness. Now, Pasuk Tes. Mishamrim Havlei Shav. Those who observe or those who follow like empty vanities. Chastam Ya'azovu. They will abandon their chesed. Let's contrast that to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Va'ani b'kol toda ez b'cholach, but I, with a voice of thanksgiving, I will offer karbonos to you. Asher nadarti ashalema, what I have promised, I shall pay up. Yeshua sala Hashem, salvation to Hashem. What is he saying at the end here? Misham rim havlei shav, chastam ya'azovu. So he's contrasting to somebody, and. Or maybe not. It really depends on how you translate chastam. One way of taking this is that he is contrasting. He's saying there are those who follow vanity, and chastam yazov, chesed would be a good thing. They will abandon their chesed. So, for example, some take it to mean he's contrasting to the men on the boat. The men on the boat who were inspired, oh, we see God, it's not going to last. Chastam yazov, they'll abandon their chesed. But I'm going to stick with it. I've had an awakening. I'm going to offer my karbonos, what I promised I'm going to pay. And he's saying other people have passing inspirational moments, and they don't stick with it. So they have their moment of chesed, but yazovu, they're going to abandon it. They don't stay with it. We see people who are momentarily inspired, but then it doesn't last. So there is one explanation in the Mefarshim that's talking about the people on the boat, and he's contrasting to them. Many Mefarshim reject this, and our tradition seems to somewhat reject it, because the Masorah is that actually the men on the boat were quite good. As I mentioned, Chazal say that when we say in Davening, Val Geire HaTzedek, it's referring to those converts from the boat. And if you look in the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar and the Zohar HaKadosh, we're actually not critical of them and say that they actually did the right thing. So another way to take it is just he's contrasting in general to people out there. There are others out there, people who are pagan, people who worship Avodah Zarah, who pursue Havlei Shav, emptiness. They won't be properly inspired. But I'm going to be, I'm alerted to Hashem's will even more, and I'm going to stick with it. Alternatively, it's not something negative. If you translate Chastam as being like their God, then what he's saying is other people also. I'm the Navi of Hashem, I'm very committed. And those who have till now followed emptiness and vanity, chastam ya'azov, they'll abandon their chesed. Chesed here meaning the thing that they viewed as chesed until now. The thing that they viewed as the good source, that their God, they will abandon that and they'll become committed to Hashem. If you take it that way, the pasuk has a very different meaning. And then it can be applied to the men on the boat. And that's the way many take it, that I'm inspired. I, Yonah, as a Yid, as a Novi, at my level, I've been inspired. And the The more simple people, the people I was with, they also, they used to follow Havle Shav and Chastam Yahazahu, they're going to abandon their gods, and I like them, well, thank Hashem, etc. The Abarbanel has a different pshat, which I think is very beautiful and significant. The Abarbanel says this has to do with Yonah's whole challenge in the first place. Why did Yonah not want to go? Because he was afraid that the people of Nineveh would do tshuva. I'm reading from the Barbanel. V'azasa Yonah tshuva mecheto ba'omro misham ha'al yishav chasm yavodu v'lo amar ze'al ha'malochem v'anshe ha'aniya shenadri nedarim mitocha sa'ara. He did not say this. The Barbanel is first going to say why he disagrees with the other explanations. He wasn't talking about the sailors on the boat and the other people on the boat who made nedarim during the storm. And as soon as they get off, they're going to forget about it. They're going to abandon all their commitments. He doesn't like that pshat. And he says, Chazal have an explanation, but you have to realize the Abarbanel most often goes with the most basic pshat. It doesn't invoke medrash, except in case where he feels the medrash is very karov el hapshat. It's a general word on how you understand Tanakh. We have different mefarshim, and the way they explain things is either closer to medrash or closer to basic pshat. And sometimes they debate whether a medrash is pashut pshat. In fact, that's going to come up very soon. I'll show you something shortly where the Abarbanel, who's the paradigm baal pshat, says that thing that Chazal say, that's pashut pshat. Don't think that's a drash. That's the basic meaning of what's happening here. But here, he doesn't... He says Chazal explained a certain way, but it's a drash. It's not the simple meaning. The way Chazal said, Chastam emigizvas chesed shema alochim yazovu elilehem. That they're going to abandon their gods. Don't go with the opposite pshat either. The people who until now worshipped Avodah Zarah, they're going to abandon their deities, their Avodah Zarahs. Kihine kol ha-perushim ha'ele rechokim heim. Mekavanas ha-ksuvim. This is not, it's far from the simple meaning of the psukim. Aval amitas ha-inyenhu. The real truth of it is, says the Abarbanel, she-yona nischaret mima she-baruch m'lefnei Hashem. What's happening here? Originally he ran away. Now he's having regret. I should not have run away. The Gomar Belibo Lasos Mitzvasos. Okay, I'm gonna do what Hashem said. He decided, he made a firm commitment. He resolved to do what Hashem said, but inyan ninve. Aval haya misnachem ba omro sha'anshe ninve shahim mishamrim havle shav. Aval pishayasu chuvam ne kriyaso. Lo yasmidu bitchuvasam. Kiliyamimu otam chastam yazovu yashuvulurish asam. But he still has the same concern. And this is a very significant question as we go on in the story. He didn't run away because he's just running away from God. He had a concern. They're going to do tshuva. Maybe he's afraid it'll look bad in contrast to the Jewish people. According to the Malbim, it's even more than that. Because they're going to do tshuva, they're going to be able to attack Klal Yisrael and cause trouble for Klal Yisrael. So how is that resolved? Says the Abarbanel, that's what he's talking about. Oh, I get it. Hashem wants me to go deliver this message. I'm going to deliver the message. And you know what? They're going to do tshuva, but it's not going to last. Chastam ya'azovu. They're going to be temporarily inspired, and they're going to do their chesed, and then chastam ya'azovu. Okay, good, I'm at ease, because it's not going to be a lasting tshuva. That must be the answer to the problem, the dilemma that I have here. That would be very significant. Because as we move forward in the story, there's a very big question. Abarbanel presents it in his introduction to the next section. Yonah gets all upset. Yonah gets very upset. Usually, if you originally don't want to do something, and then you resigned and you reconciled, and now you do want to do it, so whatever issue you had before, usually you've moved past. Yonah goes ahead, he calls out to do tshuva and Nineveh, and they do tshuva, and then he's all upset. He says, Hashem, this is why I take my life. What was bothering him? What changed? What surprised him? So this would be an approach. He thought they were going to do a very pathetic or superficial tshuva, and he was surprised that it was more effective than he thought. So that's an interesting pshat. That's the Abarbanel's pshat in Mishamrim Havlei Shav, which I think is very interesting.
So what if they did like some pathetic tshuva and they went back? They started off they started off not good anyhow. So I don't know.
Yona doesn't want them doing Tshuva Shlema. He doesn't want it, so that's why he ran away. Then he realizes, I'm not supposed to run away. I'm getting a whole fish tour down here, and it's getting uncomfortable. So he does Tshuva. But now he's doing Tshuva. So you're reconciled to Hashem's will. But he still has this problem. But Hashem, I don't understand it. It's going to be bad for Klal Yisrael. So according to the Barbanel, he seems to be coming to this realization. Oh, I get it. I'm supposed to give them the chance, and they're not going to do it anyway. But if they actually do it, that's going to be problematic for him.
But I thought that you had said that they might do it, but then they're going to abandon their teshuva. And so why would Yonah care if they abandoned their teshuva?
He'd be happy.
Okay, so then I must have misunderstood something he said.
Yeah, that's the way he's taking it. He's being menachem. He's comforting himself. Okay, Hashem says I do have to go, and I realize now I do have to go. But it'll be okay, because they're not going to do a full tshuva. Chastam yazov, very interesting pshat, that he's not talking about anybody else, he's talking about the people who he has to go to, the people of Nineveh. Okay, in any event, Pasuk Gidal, Vayomer Hashem la'dog, Hashem commanded or spoke to the dog, Vayokeyas Yonah el hayavasha, and it spew Yonah out to the dry land. From Chatham, what Vayomer means, whether it really means Hashem said, or it's just an articulation of Hashem's will, like Vayomer Elohim, Yehi Yor. God said, let there be light, so there's light. God said, let the fish spit out Yonah, so the fish spits out Yonah.
Does it say dog or dog at this point?
Here it says dog. Interesting point. Okay. I thought he was in the dagah. Oh, says the Metzudas David. Yitochen sha'acha tfila chazra hadagah. L'hakiyo al pi hadog lamod berevach. Wow, I hadn't noticed that. Shkoyach. The Metzudas David says, based on your observation, I thought he was in the doga. So he says it could be that she spit him back to the dog. So he got to go back to his five-star hotel before before being spit out. Interesting.
I'm just wondering, instead of all this being thrown from one fish to another, maybe there was different sections of the fish that he was in at different points. I mean, maybe one part of the fish was more, and another part of it, you know, maybe he's still in the same. Maybe it's both male and female.
Look, it's not in the text. The most basic level is just to say that dog and dog are interchangeable words, or one refers to the species, one not. Our Chachamim are the ones who are telling me it's two different fish. Based on that, and if they're going to tell me, I'll take it from them.
Okay.
Which brings us to Perek Gimel.
Oh, really?
And there's some very important things to be aware of here. So, Vayihi Devar Hashem El Yonah Sheinis Leimar. The word of Hashem was to Yonah a second time, saying, Sheinis Leimar. So, the Gemara Nevamos on Daf Tzadiches Amud Aleph says, "Sheinis dibra imo shchina shlishis lo dibra imo." A second time God spoke to Yonah, not a third time. Then they asked the question, but in Melachim Beis, when Yeravam ben Yoash is king, the pasuk says, this is the Gemara's question. V'hoksiv, but doesn't the pasuk say, "Hu heishiv es gvul Yisrael milavo chamos ad yam avar kedvar Hashem asher diber biyad avdo Yonah ben Amitai hanavi"? I mentioned this in our opening shiur. The other place where we find Yonah is in Melachim Beis. It says that under this king's rule, they expanded the boundaries of Klal Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael, as Hashem spoke to Yonah hanavi. So there's some other communication between Hashem and Yonah. We have one at the beginning of this sefer, go to Nineveh and call out to what I will tell you. We have Perek Gimel, the word of Hashem came to Yonah a second time, so twice here, and then there's some reference to Hashem having told Yonah that they'd be able to push back their enemies in Melachim Beis. So the Gemara asks the question, and we have two answers. Amar Ravina, one of the rabbis of the Gemara, Ravina says, "Al iske Nineveh ka'amar." It means with regard to Nineveh, Hashem spoke to him only twice. Which there's a difficulty because there's more dialogue. So sometimes it's just, it's all part of the same thing. There's two general communications, whatever he says to him later. Because later we're going to see, they have a whole back and forth toward the end of the Sefer. But one answer is, with regard to Nineveh, he only spoke to him twice. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says, Halchik Amar, Kedvar Hashem Asher Diber Biyad Avdo Hanavi, Kishem Shenepach Veninveh Meirah Latova, Kach Bimei Yeravim Ben Yoash Nepach Lamli Yisrael Meirah Latova. There's some kind of broad parallel between the two. Just like in the time of Nineveh, they changed from bad to good, Nepach. Nineveh Nepachus. Nineveh was overturned. It turned from bad to good. So too, the Jewish people at that time turned from bad to good. And somehow it all falls under one heading. It's very hard to understand. It's two different, it seems like two different things. But at some level, it's considered one. And Hashem did only speak to Yonah twice. Very interesting. The Abarbanel quotes this Chazal that Hashem only spoke to Yonah twice, and he says, "Kvar yachshov elchad min habachrim ha'ma'inim shezeu derech drash." One of the boy chicks who reads this statement of Chazal, it's a Gemara, it's a Medrash, might think it's derech drash. We don't really see that he only spoke to him twice, but there's a drasha like that. Some of the drashas, it's one opinion, or it's more like a legend, a drash that's far from the pshat. But it's not logically that it must be so. Mimasha Amar Shainis. In fact, it said a second time that there was never a third time. He says, Aval Ata Timtza Shkaz. But the Abarbanel says, no, this is absolutely true. But then he goes on to say something that's very difficult, and the Malbim questions it. I don't want to get into all these calculations, but he points to the Seder Olam, which is our record from Chazal, the chronology of things. And the Abarbanel seems to say, well, from the time that he coronated the king, that you have 102 years, and we don't find any other communication between Hashem and Yonah, and therefore it must be that he went all this time, it must have been like a punishment, because he initially resisted Hashem's calling, his shlichus, so he was denied further nevuah. The Malbim question says, there was that time span, but when this happened, it was much later. It wasn't the beginning of that century, it was much later in time. So he doesn't quite understand why the Abarbanel feels so strong that you can even see from basic shot in the story and the chronology that Yonah was never spoken to. But that's what Chazal say, that he only spoke to him Sheinis v'lo Shlishis. And it's understood to mean that because of his resistance to Hashem's Shlichus, so Hashem does not address him again. Now, in Pasuk Beis, it says, Kum lech el Nineveh ha'ir ha'gadola, get up and go to Nineveh, the great city. Ukra eleha esakriya asher anochi dover elecha. And call out to it the calling that I will tell you. Pasuk Gimel, and Perek Gimel, Vayakom Yonah, Yonah got up, Vayelech el Nineveh, and he went to Nineveh, Kidvar Hashem, like the word of Hashem. The Malbim has a whole explanation. What's Kidvar Hashem? Yonah had failed to deliver the first message. The first message was, give them Musar. The second one is, tell them exactly what I'll tell you to say. Yonah wasn't sure, well, now that I'm doing a makeup, am I supposed to do the first assignment also? Or just the second one? So he determines, no, Hashem wants me now just to deliver the second message. That's Kidvar Hashem, just like the word of Hashem, not to go back and deliver the first message. V'ninveh haisa ir gedola lelokim. Nineveh was a great city. Lelo Kim, the Ebenezer at the beginning of the Sefer claims that means that they were generally God-fearing. And it's only now when they were sinful. Other Mefarshim point out that in Tanakh, to God is an expression of largeness. There are other places in Tanakh where you have that usage. There's certain things that just become idiom. It's an expression. That was a godsend. You know, sometimes the use of Hashem is a way of saying very great, but not that they're committed to Hashem. Other Mefarshim say they were always a sinful city. They were never great. The Abarbanel disagrees with that Ebenezer strongly, but it means it was a great city, according to most, a big city, meaning Mahalach Shloshes Yamim, a Mahalach of 3 days. big city, it would take 3 days to walk through it, which I wanted to comment on in a second. One more pasuk. Vayochel Yona lavo bo'ir malach yom echad. So Yona began to come into the city the distance of 1 day. Vayikra vayomar, and he called out and he said, and this must have been what Hashem told him to say, Or arboim yom v'ninveh ne'epaches. Another 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. Okay? So the Navi makes a point of telling us that it's a mahalach shloshes yomim, it's a distance of 3 days, and that he entered a distance of 1 day. So very interesting. Ibn Ezra here. We pride ourselves on our math. So if you look at the Ibn Ezra on Mahalach Shloshes Yomim, he says Bisaviv Hamadina. The circumference of the city. Vuhu Mahalach Yom Echad min HaKotel HaKotel. So it's a distance of 1 day across, right?
So diameter is 1 day.
Right, the diameter is so how do you like that? You didn't think we'd have the use of pi here. But basically, it's a little over three around, and it's one across. Or, see, I was a little bothered by this. If it's 3 days around, he really should have entered a distance of a half a day. You think he'd do the radius, you know, get right into the middle of the city. But maybe, if the pasuk is literal, if it was 3 days around, so if you go 1 day, you're not all the way through. I mean, he traversed most of the city, right? Because it's 3.1 would be one across, so this is three, or maybe he's even a little drop less than three, it's an approximation. So he went a distance of 1 day, he's not all the way across the city. That's the way I would understand it.
Well, it could be also that the population is concentrated on the other end.
Right, could be, but then you have to wonder, so why did the Pesukim tell us this? Like, according to Ibn Ezra, it seems to be like this is a practical matter.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Pesukim are telling it to me, because I would think it would go right to the middle of it. But yeah, maybe there's some reason, but because others are different. He went all the way across. Like, what was the point? He could have stayed on this side. But that is the Ibn Ezra's explanation. The Malbim has a whole calculation that when he was told by Hashem another 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned, he wasn't sure when that was supposed to start. We know from our Masorah that when a Navi gets a prophecy that something's going to happen at a specific time, we have to be very careful how that message is delivered. Ultimately, the Chet HaEgel was because they miscalculated when Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to return, also about 40 days, by the way. So he wants to make sure to deliver it properly. Says the Malbim, "Bimnei shahaya mistapek," because he was in doubt, "Masa yaschilu zman ha'arboim yom." When do these 40 days start? "Achar shahaysa mahalach gimel yamim." It's a three. He's assuming it's 3 days across, not like the Ibn Ezra. Simple shot. It's a 3 day journey into this across the city. So v'imhaya kore takeif biyom harishon yaschil hayoshim b'ktei ha'ir lachshav arboim yom me'osayom. If right away when he gets there, he says another 40 days, Nineveh will be overturned. The people who live right there will start calculating from then. V'hayoshim b'ktei hasheni yaschil lachshav yom hashlishi, and then it'll take him 2 more days. That they'll be counting from 2 days later. So he went 1 day. V'kara, and he said, "Biyom Hasheni." I'm sorry, "V'kara biyom Hasheni." V'choshev shemi oso yom yaschel lachesbon. He took him a day of travel. So he's 1 day distance in, and now it's a day later. So in the second day, he announced. He knows. He assumed it was the middle. He assumed it was the middle. That's how the Malbim takes it. Now, if you look right away in Rashi, it's a famous thing. Odar boim yom v'ninveh ne'epaches. It doesn't say Odar boim yom v'ninveh ne'epaches kemapecha Sodom va'amora, like the overturning of stone, which we just read about. It just says ne'epaches will be overturned. So what we take it to mean is that Nineveh will be turned around one way or other. There's a parenthetic remark in Rashi, which is not really from Rashi, but where it says "Velo Amar Necharevis," it doesn't say destroyed. Ki Ne'epeches Meshamesh Shtei Lashonos Rabba Tov. It has two implications, two potential implications: one bad, one good. Im lo yasu tshuva necharebes. If they don't do tshuva, overturned, destroyed. Vim yasu tshuva oz nepeches. If they do tshuva, turned around, a 180. Another 40 days, and Ninveh is going to do a 180. You're going to turn around. You're going to turn over. Either physically, and the ground's going to be on top of you, or spiritually, you're going to turn around. Alan shein Ninveh koish yapkume rolatov yasu tshuva. That's a famous teaching of Dessler, as I recall, is a beautiful piece on this. The Abarbanel is very bothered that the Nevuah, that Ninveh will be overturned literally, and in Odar Boim Yom has to have come true at some level. The Malbim says, I don't know why he's so insistent on that, but the Abarbanel comes with some creative approaches to make it work out. So I'll read to you one of them. V'haderach ha'sheni b'beir Odar Boim Yom v'Ninveh Epochus. He sheyom b'makom hazeh hu b'makom shana. Sometimes yom or yamim means a year. Okay? Kemo yomim tia ge'ulasa, we have parshas b'chukosai. Umilas od hu min haminyan. Od is meant to be counted as a gematria. It's 80. Ayin is 70, vav and dalet is 6 and 4, another 10. So if you put arboim yom, meaning 40 years, and od, and another 80, sha'ola l'shmonu, chishitosev aleim arboim, yu kulon kufchav shana. It's 120 years from now. Uki ilu amar shabasov kufchav shana. At the end of 120 years from now, tia ninve nepachos v'chein haya, shabon nebuchadnezzar v'achriv achrei kufchav shana. 120 years from this date, Nebuchadnezzar came along and destroyed Ninveh. So he wants to say that there was some fulfillment of this Nevuah, meaning a negative thing. The Malbim questions why it has to be so. Why can't you just say that Nepochus could go one way or other? And he says that whenever the Nevi'im come and warn someone, it's always with the potential for tshuva, and it's supposed to be that you can undo it. But the Abarbanel has these interesting explanations how the Nevuah did come true. In the literal negative sense. I've mentioned in the past because the Vilna Gaon's Remez way of understanding all these psukim, which is very beautiful. So when we say, it's just when you read it at the Remez level, at the allusion level, like the words ring, you say, oh, now I see why it's using that phraseology. But Ninveh is Ir Gedol Lelokim Malach Shloshes Yomim. To God, during the course of 3 days, says the Vilna Gaon, She Karo Shel Adam Lesalach Lefnei Elokim Tomid. Person is always supposed to go with Hashem. Kemosh Matzina B'Chalat Tzadikim, as the righteous are. Avol Ninveh Lo Halchu Lefnei Elokim Rak Gimel Yomim. They were only Lelokim Malach Shloshes Yomim. They're people who walk with Hashem only 3 days. V'heim Rosh Chodesh Elul V'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. Rosh Chodesh Elul, we all feel that inspiration, Rosh Chodesh Elul. I heard Reb Zelig Epstein say that there was an expression in Slonim where he grew up that even the fish in the streams would tremble when they would bench Rosh Chodesh Elul. Elul was a frightful time, but it wears off, you know. And then Rosh Hashanah again, and then Yom Kippur. He mentions the famous siman from Kamon, Aryeh Shag Milo Yir, Aryeh Aleph Resh Yud is El Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. When the lion roars, who doesn't tremble? Fine. So then when it says, Yonah came into the city, Malach Yom Echad, B'Yom Rishon, Shehizchil Laloch, V'Hubra Rosh Chodesh El, and what does he cry out on the first of those days? Oed Arboim Yom. It's Rosh Chodesh El. He's saying another 40 days, Ninveh Nepochus, 40 days from Rosh Chodesh El, is Yom Kippur. That he's making the announcement. Odar Ba'am Yom Ninveh Nepochus is the announcement you make on Rosh Chodesh El. And then we'll read soon, it's going to say they fasted. That's the Medrash. This is all in the Vilna Gaon's allusion.
Vilna Gaon.
Yeah. There's a famous Medrash that says on Rosh Chodesh Elul, unique people fast, and Hashem forgives a third of our sins. And then during the Aser Simei Tshuva, the Beinonim, the people who are sort of in the middle fast, and Hashem forgives another third. And then in Yom Kippur, everybody fasts, and He forgives all of our sins. That's a famous Medrash in Parshas Emor. Because that there is a minhag, some people do fast, or fast half a day on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and people used to fast during the day during Aser Simei Tshuva. The real reason for Slichus is because they would fast, and the reason why we Ashkenazim start Slichus 4 days before Rosh Chodesh Elul, we always start a minimum of 4 days before. We always start on a Sunday, so sometimes it's more, but if Rosh Hashanah would be Wednesday night, so then we have 4 days of Slichus, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, 4 days before
Rosh Chodesh. Is because there are 4 days of the 10 days of Tshuva when you can't fast. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, one Shabbos, and Erev Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah and Erev Yom Kippur. You don't fast on Shabbos, and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So we want 10 days of fasting within the 10 days of Tshuva, but you're missing four of them. So they made a minhag. So preempted, start 4 days before. That's really the reason for the Ashkenazic minhag. But he say, the Gaon says, the fact that we're going to see they believed in Hashem and they fasted, that's the Beinonim, the Aser Simei Tshuva. And we'll see what reference the king has. I think we're just about out of time for this week. I want to mention one other thing I see in my notes here that I neglected from before. Rav David Cohen, a great poskim we have today in America, in Brooklyn. So his first svarim were Ohel David. The first svarim that he published, he's published many svarim, but they were on Nach. In fact, Rav Huttner writes in his introduction, I don't know why, of all things, he decided to make his first svarim on Nach, but if that's what he wants, that's fine. So I saw cited from the Ohel David that back, just jumping back to the tefillah for 1 second, with this I'll wrap it up, when he talks about seeing Heichal Kodshecha, thrown into the water, but I will once again see Heichal Kodshecha. I'm surrounded by water once again. I'll daven, and you'll accept it in the Heichal Kodshecha. Why is he talking about Heichal Kodshecha so much? I mentioned it in the introductory shir, the Yerushalmi, in the fifth paragraph of Maseches Sukkah. The Gemara Yerushalmi says that Yonah was me'ole regalim haya. Yonah was ole regel, and that's where he got Ruach HaKodesh. If you look in the fifth chapter of Maseches Sukkah, it talks about when they would go to the Beis HaMikdash, they would ushavta mayim besasam, the whole idea of drawing Ruach HaKodesh from being in the Beis HaMikdash. It seems that Yonah's real nevuah initially came from being an ole regel. So now he feels far away from Hashem. He's in the water. He says, but I will once again go back to the climax of my life, the great place where I was, which is Heichal Kodshecha. So that fits in nicely based on the Chazal, that that's where he originally got his nevuah from, was from being ole regel, hence the reference in his tefillahs. Okay, so we'll continue next time. It's a Shabbat more in Parak Gimel. Will Yonah carry out his shlichus properly? We'll tune in next time. Okay.
Thank you.